Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
I did an escape room earlier in the year with my friends. We'd spent 15 minutes standing in the corridor trying to get into the escape room, and the woman came over the little tannoy system and said, the door's open behind you, you just need to go in.
Hi, I'm Anne-Marie Maffedon, and this is Women Take Charge from the Evening Standard. We're all about women who do amazing things, and we've got an astonishing guest today, someone who has turned the unexpected into the innovative. Emma Lawton is a Parkinson's activist and project lead for apps and devices at Parkinson's UK.
Welcome to the podcast, Emma.
Thank you for having me.
How does one go about getting a watch named after them by Microsoft?
Magic and fluke.
I want to start in a weird place, I guess. Okay. Maybe not as much for you because it happened. Talk me through how one ends up being diagnosed with Parkinson's at 29.
I basically had this kind of weird feeling in my arm for about a year that I kind of ignored. My arm just felt kind of weird and a bit numb and a bit sleepy, and I was a graphic designer at this point, and every time I was trying to use my mouse I was kind of struggling a little bit, and my work colleagues were referring to my hand as the claw, and
right.
You know, it was just kind of
really
there was
handy.
Something not really working. Mm-hmm. And I was at my dad's 60th birthday party, and there was a friend there who worked in healthcare, and she said, "You don't swing your arm when you walk. There's something wrong with your arm. You need to go and get it checked out." So
right.
It was like the worst birthday present ever. I said to my dad I'd go and get it checked out because he was really concerned about it. And had all the kind of scans and everything, and it came back as Parkinson's. They actually told me a few other things that it could be, and it was the one that I was least scared of, because you don't die from it. You die with it. Kind of weird, because actually Parkinson's, you only start to kind of really show symptoms when you've lost about 70% of your dopamine. So basically it's all to do with a chemical called dopamine that mm-hmm. controls so many things in your body, and you just don't even realize it controls those things, like temperature control and mood swings, as well as all the kind of physical stuff. So it was actually a relief to have an answer for a lot of the things that I'd been worried about, like stuff like kind of, you know, struggling to kind of make decisions quickly and easily and things like that. So actually immediately it was a relief. And then probably over the next year, I suddenly realised the gravity of it, and that actually I had all these plans for my life. I didn't want to just survive. I wanted to do stuff and actually thrive. And actually, you know, I didn't want to just keep my job. I wanted to get progression
and do really well at it.
And I just thought, there's all these things I've got plans for. You know, as a 29-year-old, you don't expect your life to suddenly be kind of, to be told that your life is going to be so much harder.
No.
And that you actually don't actually know how much harder it's going to get and how quickly. There's no markers for it, really.
And with something like Parkinson's at 29 as well, it's something
the
that,
old woman's
you know.
Disease. It doesn't feel cool at the time. You're like, there's all these kind of cool illnesses that people can get that you kind of feel.
What's a
like,
cool illness?
I don't know, but I just feel like there's stuff that's maybe a bit more age appropriate. And I just feel like Parkinson's isn't really age appropriate. It's kind of, you know, everyone's point of reference is their gran or like their granddad. And you just think, you know, that's not cool.
Although it's quite, I don't want to say it's quite common, but there are a number of people who have early onset.
More common than you think.
Yeah,
definitely. I mean, I've got friends who were diagnosed at 8, one that was diagnosed when he was at university. I kind of feel grateful that actually I had at least those years of my life without it. So yes. It must be really difficult to be diagnosed.
And so it's opened up a whole new community of people.
Oh, they're
as
awesome.
Well for you.
They're yeah. incredible. They're such a creative bunch and they're so dynamic and driven. They really push me forward.
Well, how does Microsoft come into it though?
I saw something on Facebook that was an advert for a TV program that was being made and I thought, well, I'll have a bit of that. That sounds good. I'll
Why
go for
not?
It. Never
yeah,
thought
could be an
I'd
actress on it.
Yeah, exactly. Never thought I'd ever get selected for it. Then it just all happened very quickly. There was a woman called Hyann who was kind of paired up with me as my buddy. So yeah. We each kind of, every person on the show who needed a fix to happen to them was buddied up with someone who could help them, who was an engineer or a technologist or just an extraordinarily bright person.
Ladies and gentlemen, Emma and Hyann.
I'm Hyann Jung. I'm Innovation Director at Microsoft Research in Cambridge, UK. I met Emma, you know, she's a graphic designer, a creative director, really succeeding in her own career, but she was unable to write or draw. We started working together, thinking about, well, how can we help Emma regain her ability to write?
She made this amazing watch for me that, it's not really a watch, it doesn't tell the time, but it's the easiest thing to describe it as. It basically vibrates into my wrist and allows me to write.
We'd seen some other devices that people use to help with their symptoms. People sometimes carry a metronome and somehow their brain becomes distracted by the metronome and they're able to regain control. This is a brain hack.
It's got quite a space age kind of look. So it's got like, it's kind of like a regular sort of watch band, like a, I don't know, they're made of like a rubbery kind of strap.
Right.
And then it's got six haptics, so kind of vibration points that kind of sit on the wrist. Then it's got like a...
Do they look like gemstones or something?
No,
or
they're
they?
Hidden,
no.
Sadly.
Oh, okay.
It's just a very, this very plain wristband watch. I would put some gemstones on it, but I think they'd kill me. And then it's got kind of a white circle on the top, which has my name engraved on it in writing that looks just like my handwriting, but it's not my handwriting, which is creepy. Okay. They just picked a font and it was the same, which is
right.
weird.
Do you still own it? Do you still use it?
I still own it. I don't use it as much, I'll be honest, because actually Parkinson's is a really changeable thing. And so now my medication is a bit more balanced. I'm able to write sort of a little bit better, and actually my job role involves less writing, but I still love to put it on and draw and, you know, to use it because I feel so lucky to have it and it's such an incredible tool. We're trying to do some kind of tests and stuff to see if it works with anyone other than me,
right.
or whether it's the most niche piece of technology that's
oh
ever been
goodness.
Created.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird. I was actually working over at Microsoft consulting on it for a bit and I'd go in and they'd say, what project do you want? And I'd say, project I'm on.
You're listening to Women Tech Charge. Subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Back in a sec.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So you're part of this new community, you have Parkinson's, you're acclimatizing to life with Parkinson's now that you know that's what it is, as a graphic designer.
Yeah.
What does that look like? How did that work career-wise?
I was actually working for an agency that struggled with how to deal with it, to be completely honest with you. I think I was kind of lucky that I'd moved more into a creative director role by the time I was diagnosed. Mm-hmm. So it was only really when I left there and I started kind of doing freelance work and working in agencies that I realised I actually had a bit of a superpower.
So you ended up leaving the agency because they were kind of looking past you, or they didn't know how to handle having someone with Parkinson's.
They didn't know how to use
space.
My superpower yet.
Yeah, well, you know, they
hadn't worked out yet.
It was like a, you know, lock them out in the big house of all the other people's superpowers and leave them to that.
I've done various things over time. So I sort of was a junior designer when I first came out of university. I studied at Nottingham Trent. But I always wanted to be an actress when
you
I was younger.
You could still be an actress.
I feel like actually my career now, I get to do all the things that I love.
The other thing I was going to talk to you about was comedy.
Yes.
You are a comedian. I'm going to call it and claim
it. Okay, fine. I'll go with that.
What do you enjoy the most about it? Is it your kind of dreams of being an actress?
I think
or
it
actor
is a little bit.
Being realised.
It's slightly the shock factor as well. The fact that I feel like people can't heckle me. I did a competition. For my very first time I did comedy, I did a competition, which is one of those foolish things you do. You just think, I can do this. And I won it. And it was just an awesome thing.
So you
it?
Could do it. It wasn't foolish.
Oh no, but I didn't know that at the time. None of my friends knew it either. I hadn't really done that much practice. I'd kind of written something about 10 minutes before. But I realised that actually it kind of opens up people, it allows people to laugh at you, which is actually good for them and good for me.
Right.
To actually be able to make light of something that's actually really difficult, makes them learn about it. If they possibly wouldn't have learned about it otherwise, if you'd kind of given them a lecture or it'd been serious. Actually, I think probably some of those people learnt something that they wouldn't have learnt otherwise. And it was brilliant. It was just, you know, people were still heckling me but kind of joking with me, and it just, I go up there and I talk about dating with Parkinson's. I go up there and talk about all sorts of kind of rude and things that people wouldn't expect to come out of a girl's mouth who's got Parkinson's. And it just, I love shocking people, I guess, a little bit as well. And it's a really good medium for telling stories, I think.
You don't look ill.
You don't look stupid. I've actually found that technology can help me here, so if I need food, I order delivery. If I need to get somewhere, I order an Uber. If I need the lid taking off something, a jar opening, a spider catching, or I'm bored, it's Tinder.
The shock factor is one thing. I think you're right. The laughter, it almost helps the medicine go down a little bit more. So it's something. So I speak all the time, and I like to say I'm quite funny, but who knows? But there was one time I did a talk, and I always talk about technology one way or another. Yeah. And someone tweeted and was like, "Do you find that the humour helps or hinders the seriousness of the message?" And I remember initially being a bit like, "What is this person on about?" Like. Did you not find it funny? But you've said the word humour, so you must have known that there was a bit that was funny in it. But then ended up replying, being like, yeah, like people remember how they felt.
Yeah.
But also lectures are boring.
You need to spice things up, but you'll be the memorable one.
This is it. But who wants to be lectured?
Exactly. I think that's how I actually got into doing comedy, was I was doing more and more talks. They were supposed to be serious talks. I was talking, they were not supposed to be, but you felt that the room was expecting it to be. I'd do like a pharmaceutical conference or something.
Okay.
And you'd kind of walk in there and you'd have an hour and you'd think, well, I'm literally going to go through the whole gamut of like I'm going to have every kind of symptom based that I can possibly have during that hour. And actually, I'm going to have to just embrace that and go with it. So being quite jokey about it. And it just kind of, it got to the point that I realised that I actually just had to embrace it. I couldn't be this kind of businesswoman that stood up there and was polished. That just wasn't me. I had to be human. And actually, do you know what? That's the great thing about Parkinson's, if you can say that with those words in a sentence. It's a real leveller. I mean, I find I go to events now and, you know, CEO of a big organisation will be sat on the floor talking to me because he wants to be able to see my face. It's really lovely. And I think I get to be myself a lot more because I go somewhere and people see my weaknesses and flaws instantly. They're there. And so people are the same. They reflect that back and I get to kind of know people deeper. And
okay,
it's a really lovely thing that I never expected to find. I just think it's made business more human for me.
I wanted to ask you as well about the kind of roles that you see yourself or you find yourself doing now. What are the kind of things that you've ended up doing that you're kind of surprised actually that this has opened up those doors?
I think the biggest surprise to me was how different I felt about users.
Okay.
So I actually started looking at jobs in service design. So I did a couple of kind of temporary contracts for agencies in service design. I really loved that. And actually like kind of that putting the user first, and it kind of got me into technology a little bit more as well. After that, they made a role for me at Parkinson's UK. It was a case of, I was working there as a freelance designer for a bit, and we were getting loads of phone calls from people saying, you know, what else is there tech-wise that we can use? You know, what would you recommend? And they were kind of a bit scared to recommend anything because actually it's quite dangerous. Like, if you say there's an app that's really good for, you know, knowing when to take your medication,
mm.
and that app stops getting updated by the developers, mm. and it doesn't remind someone to take their meds,
which happens,
you're
all
potentially
the time.
In trouble.
Exactly.
So, you know, I could tell that they were a bit wary of it, and I think we kind of between us decided that actually a good role for me would be to set something up that was going to be, you know, actually verifying whether those things are useful for people. So actually getting people with Parkinson's to test stuff, getting it tested officially for kind of, you know, whether it's safe data wise, whether it's, you know, going to be kind of a sustainable business that's going to keep updating it, but actually getting it in the hands of people with Parkinson's and saying whether it's useful. So I basically became devices and apps lead at Parkinson's UK and got to kind of play with apps and devices all day, which was fantastic.
Which is a great job to be paid
awesome.
For.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Absolutely awesome.
Do you get gadgets first as well, or is it predominantly apps?
Predominantly apps. We've tried a few gadgets. We've kind of had some things that you put on shoes, some things that are kind of like, you know, things you have in your house that talk to you. We've had all sorts of things. So I think
we did work with a girl a couple of years ago who'd made a device called Free Feet.
Ooh.
That you attach to your shoe and it reduces gait freezing as you walk if you've
oh, really?
Got
That's
Parkinson's.
Interesting.
Yeah, it does always surprise me the number of things that you could do or could create. But being able to test and review it, I think, is quite a handy framework. So you do have the accessibility frameworks for like websites and all that kind of stuff for screen readers. But being able to do that for Parkinson's is something that would be nice to have that as part of like a widespread standard, basically, for saying this is something that we can improve.
And I think that's where I suddenly realised the real power of technology, and that actually it can help people live fairly normal lives. I mean, I feel like I'm actually still living a fairly independent life that I maybe would need more help with if there wasn't such a thing as technology.
What are the kind of top two things would you say that someone should keep in mind when developing an app to keep it Parkinson's safe, I guess, specifically?
Keep it simple, firstly, I think. Right. Sometimes they try and put too many features into one app. I think everyone tries to create that all singing, all dancing app, and actually the ones that we've had most successful have been on ones that are kind of like a single purpose app or solution. Also, if they cannot look daggy.
What's daggy?
You know the NHS plastic colour that's like that kind of brown colour? I mean, it's a medical item, it doesn't look sexy.
Yeah.
But actually there's some people inventing some really like sexy looking watches and things that actually look like nice timepieces. Don't forget that you're designing for people that actually have taste as well.
Who used to be graphic designers,
yeah, exactly.
You.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really fussy about this sort of thing.
So is there anything that you're excited about or anything that you wish existed as you're reviewing, as you're looking through the apps and different things that come to you based on new trends? So let's say AI, because you can't do anything tech at the moment without mentioning those two letters.
There's a lot of tech for tech's sake, I think. I think a lot of people, it's a case of like their managing director or someone. I used to work for a chatbot startup that was in fintech.
Mm.
And basically, we'd have so many banks come to us and go, actually, we want a chatbot. And we'd say, why do you want a chatbot? And they'd say, we just do. Our boss wants one because everyone else has got one. And we'd say, that's not a reason. Come back to us when you've got a proper reason. And I think that's the thing that concerns me a little bit about technology. I'm quite excited by the kind of way that technology can link up. I think things like connected homes and stuff like that of smart items in the house. I'm quite intrigued by that as a thing that actually your house can kind of help you prepare for your day almost. And I think as someone who maybe leaving the house is often a little bit difficult and a bit kind of time consuming, and you know, weather can affect me, whether I've taken my medication properly can affect me, whether I've eaten meat the day before can affect me. You know, if my fridge can communicate with my smart device and kind of, you know, tell what I've eaten and actually say, make suggestions around, you know, well, you've taken your medication late this morning and you had meat yesterday and it's raining, you might want to book an Uber. I think I want it all to kind of to help me to almost be that kind of thing that hovers above me and helps me see myself and my patterns and my life. I've actually got something in my house at the moment which is tracking my movement and when I leave the house, and there's kind of a thing under my bed that, you know, knows when I'm sleeping and stuff.
Right.
So I can kind of look at my own patterns and try and see what I'm doing wrong, and when things are working and when things aren't working. And with Parkinson's, there's not very many patterns, but if you can find one and something works for you, then just keep doing it.
Then
because
you do need to.
But I think I'm quite interested in that, kind of how everything links up, I think, to me is the fascinating bit of the future.
It's time for a breather. Send me a message using the hashtag WomenTechCharge, and please subscribe and rate on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Acast, or wherever you listen to podcasts. You've come up with this idea called the Effit List. Effit blog?
Fitness blog? Blog, yeah, yeah.
Effit blog?
Yeah.
How would you describe it?
It is a bucket list with an F.
Mm-hmm.
It's a celebration of a year where I am kind of trying loads of different things, new things. It has to be all stuff that I've not done before or not done since I was diagnosed, so in the last 6 years. And it kind of was born out of a trip to New York. I damaged my neck and I wasn't really sure how.
Did you do something or sort of something happened itself. In your neck?
Yeah. I don't really know. There was no kind of trigger point. It just sort of happened. My neck just gave up and decided it was going to fall asleep.
Right.
And obviously, New York is a very visual kind of skyline city. And suddenly I was looking at the floor and I stood on this yellow arrow in a car park and thought, this is my destiny. Like, I've got to, it's telling me to move forward. It's just a standard bog basic yellow arrow on a floor. But
there's,
I was like, this is destiny.
York,
yeah. And so I took a picture of it and I came back and I thought, I'm going to do something positive. I'm going to stop. Because I'd got to the point I'd stopped saying yes to stuff. I want to enjoy this year. I don't want to keep saying, I'll do it when my next better. I'll do it when my next better. Because it might not get better. So I'm doing so many different things, just ridiculous plethora of things. I mean, one day I love the fact that I'll look at my calendar and I might be doing flower arranging one day and then like shooting guns at a firing range the next day, and I just love the kind of the light and shade.
I did have a look. There were quite a few random things on it that I thought
there
were
some super random stuff,
yeah, that I thought were quite funny. But also, it's not completely full, so I was going to say, are you still taking ideas? People listening, can they suggest things for
definitely
you to put on the
definitely so it'll be running running until the end of the year. And what I do is every time I get poorly or something, I down tools and I kind of don't do it. I basically stop doing it for that period of time that I'm ill. And I had to really fight with myself with that because I'm such a perfectionist that I didn't want to break the 365-day pattern. But actually, it's meant that I've loved the project continuously.
You should look back and do like Throwback Thursday or Throwback
Tuesday. Yeah, exactly.
So there's something on colour theory.
Colours, what they mean, like how you use them and things like that. And I thought that was quite interesting. But I'm also going to go and have my colours read, which is about what colours you should wear.
We were talking about this because I've got grey hair, you've got purple and pink hair.
Yeah.
Which is slightly cooler than having the grey hair.
No, it's not, your hair's cool.
I think yours is cooler. But we were talking about this in the office yesterday, in Smith's office, and you can't wear, they were saying you can't wear green with purple hair.
I mean, I don't see that as being a thing.
It's not a thing. But this is going to be even weirder because they're going to pick it off your personality and say...
They basically do it off your personality, but also they read your skin tone. So, like, my mum had it done and she said that she thinks I'm a winter, which apparently means I should wear bright colours and blacks and stuff. But I shouldn't wear, like, russet reds or yellow ochre and stuff
really?
Like that. Kind of
but
colour.
Then
but
what happens if you wear russet red?
The world doesn't end. I mean, it's all right.
This is the thing that confuses me.
I think people maybe just cover their eyes a bit if they're not into that.
They wear sunglasses. Yeah. What are the ones that you're looking back? So you've done 230 odd,
around
250
that, yes.
odd.
230, yeah.
Looking back, what have been some of your favourite things?
Flower arranging was actually really lovely. It kind of took me back to that kind of hands-on making things sort of approach. It's a nice medium to work in.
Did you do it with the watch?
I did some calligraphy the other day with the watch, actually. That was great fun.
No
you
way.
Could see like some of the slight tremor from the vibration, like
that
in the pen thing.
That must add to it. I was going to say, you should make like a font, like to have it add to your creative process.
Yeah.
I'm sure for calligraphy,
that'd
that
be
could
awesome.
Be like an effect.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
I feel like there's an art theme or art genre waiting to be born.
Parkinson's art.
Yeah.
Do you know what? It's the thing, actually. People, when they start taking the medication, they become super creative. My old nurse that I used to have, she had this whole wall of paintings and poetry and everything that people had just sent her. You know, it just brings out the kind of...
Superpower's been boosted, yeah. Is there any that you can tell us kind of exclusively you will be doing that you haven't yet released?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, actually, I'm actually joining an incubator,
Ooh.
A business incubator
nice.
Called Zinc.
I've heard of them.
You've heard of Zinc.
Zinc
yeah.
VC.
Yeah.
They do challenges, right?
Mission-led, yeah.
Yeah.
So basically,
like
instead of going in with like a business, you go in to solve a societal problem. So
yeah.
The problem we're going to be solving is kind of elderly care, I guess, kind of
right.
The last 5 years of people's life, making them happier. And there's this whole digital divide of people not feeling comfortable using technology and social isolation and things like that, I think is a really big deal. So,
dot everyone, I don't know if it's kind of been part of your research for it, but dot everyone did that a couple of years ago working with the NHS and looking at tech for end of life care and how that is something that's neglected and it is something that weirdly enough it's not really been on anyone's priority, but still those are people that are kind of big users of the NHS.
Exactly.
And there's still ways that tech can help at the end of life.
Yeah, definitely. Those of my family members that are older that use technology definitely feel less isolated because they, you know, even if they don't talk on Facebook or something, they can see that people are chatting and, you know, it's they can kind of
they
see
know
what's going
happening.
On. Yeah.
There was also something that they did around being able to communicate kind of the notes with certain members of the family.
Yeah.
And friends, but then also with healthcare professionals.
Yeah.
I think there was quite a lot around that. So
it's
then, because
really
if you're not able to explain everything that's happening,
exactly.
then at least having a device or piece of tech that could do that for you. So there's quite a lot That's yeah. kind of ripe for the picking, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm really, really excited about kind of starting that. So I think there'll be tons of new stuff coming through that. I mean, I'm just going to be doing something new every day, but I'm going to have to pepper it with other stuff or people are going to get bored. But yeah, I'm really excited to kind of start that.
Which I think is almost a nice place to end this, but it's there's a lesson or there's something to be said for kind of that inclusivity in tech, meaning lots of things.
Yes.
And meaning all kinds of people and all kinds of conditions and all kinds of situations being included.
At certain points, there's always going to be times when you haven't got full use of your whole body. And I think if you kind of almost design for what is the lowest common denominator, but actually the most challenging audience first, then it's going to work for everyone else. And I think that's a good, really good place to start.
Absolutely. I think that's the other thing that I think I wonder how funny or how far away we are going to go with some of that med tech and diagnosis side of things. I think it's part of the human condition that everyone's got something wrong with them.
Yeah.
Because there's no, like the average doesn't really exist.
No.
So it's everyone, you know, everyone's nose is either too long or whatever it might be, right? And so it's, you kind of build for the extremities that you might have for human beings. So the other thing that you end up seeing as well is kind of the hidden disabilities. Yeah. So like I've got a condition that means that there are days sometimes when I can't leave the house or I can't move my right arm. So actually I've been at work before unable to move my right arm for a very different reason.
Yeah.
But it's that thing of, I don't know, I think we're going to end up seeing it as superpowers and counting it that way.
Yeah.
And then there'll be certain people who maybe are able to ignore their power and kind of hide that base for longer. But this appreciation that everyone is able-bodied or everyone is not able-bodied.
I think everyone's just, and we're everyone's all in the same group. Everyone's a human. Everyone's a person. And everyone has flaws and issues and challenges in different ways. And I think if you see people like that, it makes it easier to design for people because you realise that, you know, everyone's facing something, whether it's a condition or just day-to-day life, being busy or...
So it's that highest common factor, not the lowest common denominator.
Yeah.
Hey!
Superpowers.
Buzz, bomb, bomb.
We're all looking to make more sustainable choices, but making your own shoes out of natural materials could pose a few challenges. At the Allbirds Innovation Lab, they're doing all the sciencey stuff like research and testing to create shoes from natural materials, like leather made from plants, eucalyptus tree fiber, and sugarcane. It's not rocket science, it's shoe science. Allbirds is making shoes better than natural. They're super natural. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com today. That's Allbirds.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.